Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local, the Stay Home Sessions. I think it's episode 7 now. It is Monday. Well, actually, you know what? I don't want to date it, you know, because probably people are going to be listening to this anytime. So either way, we're all staying home. We all got some time. Well, at least most of us. This is Kevin Deers, and on the phone right now, we got Jake Day from Six Gun. Released Booze, Pills, and Cheap Thrills in their music video for Lonely Man this past week. Jake, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah, man. It's cool to have you on the phone. You know, as we would imagine, we'd probably rather have you in the studio, but we're making do. And first off, I got to ask, like, are you still working from home, or are you, you know, out of work for a little while, unfortunately? Or what's your, like, day job kind of situation look like right now?
I'm a contractor by day, okay. And most of our stuff is non-essential, so my hours are reduced right now, but I'm working a little bit from home, yeah.
Okay, word, man. Well, you know, doing what you can, and are you focusing a little bit more time on the music to kind of, you know, since we have a little bit more time?
Yeah, I have nothing but time, right? I've been focusing on playing guitar, and I also started making custom guitars. I've been kind of messing with it before.
Wow.
And started spending more time doing that now on the side. So
awesome! And where am I calling you from, or where are you calling me from? Where in the Northwest are you?
I'm out in Edenclaw.
Okay, right on, man. So a little bit outside of the city, which is actually a kind of a good thing in these current times.
I love it, man. For my job, I'm in the city all the time. So I get to go there for work 4 or 5 days a week, and then when I come home to the country, so it's fine.
Hell yeah, man. Well, it's better to not be around a ton of people at these current times, so I'm kind of jealous of you. But either way, it's awesome to have you on the phone. How are you staying sane? How are you staying safe these days? Like, what are you doing to, like, kind of, you know, aside from, you know, making the guitars and working on music and some of the limited hours that you're getting at your day job, is there anything you're doing to kind of, like, pass the time that you wouldn't normally get into?
I don't want to sound corny, but my wife is pretty awesome, so we spend a lot of time getting out and walking with the dogs, and I'm older. I mean, I'm 40. I'm not old, but I still skate. So I've been out on my skateboard quite a bit here in the cul-de-sac, looking like a funny guy. So hey,
why is that dad skateboarding? What the hell?
I'm the tattooed guy that skateboards in the cul-de-sac, but I'll take it. It's fine. It keeps me sane.
That's awesome, man. Well, cool, man. How's everything been with the release of the album Booze, Pills, and Cheap Thrills so far?
It's been really awesome. We went into Foundry Studios last, like, November, December, I guess, and then we put it together, kind of got it out, really, in the beginning of February. We put together a video shoot at Lucky Liquor on Leap Day, so we did a February 29th shoot.
Yeah.
And then we actually took off on a little short tour, and right when all this madness was kind of kicking off, really, we headed down to Southern Oregon and back. On a little, like, 4-day tour.
Yeah.
And by the time we got back, everything else we had on the books was canceled.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. Like, being on tour, like, in the beginning stages of this, did you start to notice things while you were actually out on the road, or did it really kick in, like, right after?
Well, we have one guy in our band who's immunocompromised, and so we were really sensitive to that, and we had a kind of a band meeting, and, you know, since most of the first and worst was here in Washington, we figured going to Southern Oregon was probably safer and better than being here, and at the time, again, in the first week of March, we decided, we decided, hey, let's give it a shot, and head out of town. So we went down there, and it seemed to be that the crowds were a little more relaxed. We actually brought toilet paper back with us.
Ooh.
And once we got back, the madness here had kind of set in for real. And then, you know, work-wise stuff started changing. So we've just kind of, we haven't practiced as a band. We've done a couple live stream things, but we're itching to get back and practice too. And then, the record's been great though. That was your question. Sorry. The release has been awesome, and trying to play shows and support it has been trickier than getting it out.
What a time to release, the big album, right? It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
It's weird.
So tell me a little bit about the music video. Like, who did you work with on that? Or did you guys do it yourself? Or
we actually, so Sixth Gun is, maybe this is a story for another day, but we're originally from Southern California.
No, we got today, so. Man. Today is the story. It's the story for today.
Sixth Gun's originally from Southern California. So we are newer to the Seattle scene.
Nice.
But as a band, or I guess as a brand, and a catalog of music, it's been around a little bit. So, we've been really grinding hard the last year or so, but really coming onto the scene newer up here. And so it's been a little bit refreshing because, we love the bands that are around here, the local bands, and the scene has been pretty awesome, but putting out music right now has been pretty tricky, and we felt like it was a good time with the sound that we have being fairly unique to try and put something different out. So we grabbed some people that had shot a video for some people at the Kraken, and we said, hey, we want to do this video. Here's an idea. The budget worked out, and we booked it, and luckily we booked it before everything went sideways.
That's a hard one. Like, imagine if it would have just been a couple weeks later. So that's awesome that you guys got it in right before.
Luckily, they had time to edit.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They were editing up until this last weekend, and it turned out amazing. We shot it all through Seattle in like four different scenes, and then we shot in the club itself. So it turned out great.
That's awesome, man. Well, you mentioned you guys are from California. So what's the story like? When did you guys officially start? And then what made you guys move Sixth Gun up to Seattle in the Northwest? Specifically, what about Seattle?
So I am from Southern California. In fact, the first time I ever came to Seattle was when Sixth Gun was on tour back in 2005.
Okay.
We played the Central back in the day.
Hell yeah.
So the band was pretty big in California at the time. We had some radio play down there and some things, some festivals and stuff, some affiliations with some things, and had a little bit of success. We toured for a couple years, basically everything west of the Rockies, and did everything independently. And then life happened, you know. Everybody had kids and got divorced and got married and did what they did. The band completely broke up. And I moved up here to Seattle and pretty much sold all my gear. Didn't really know what was going to happen. Smash cut to me being in some other bands, singing. I was in a band called 15 Stitches that's around here still as a singer originally. And then I said, God, man, I got two albums worth of music. I really love this sound. It's good rock and roll stuff that feels to be, you know, pretty timeless. And I started recruiting people up here, and I started the band. I write the songs, or, you know, at least the original ones from before, and own everything. So I just found some guys up here, and I found some guys who are amazing musicians who have been in other bands, have been part of the scene for years, and they've been really gracious. And it's almost been like playing with hired pickers and hired guns because they're so good. But, it's been really good to get out and get these songs out again. And, you know, being 40 and playing is totally different than being 24 and 25 and playing. And it's been gratifying in a completely different way.
Well, you know, I can only, I'm not trying to put words into your mouth or anything, or like, you know, speak for you, but it seems like maybe you'd be a little bit more intentional this time around. Like, you know what you want, you know what you don't want, and you know your goals. And is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We try not to waste any time with what we're doing, and we definitely have some goals, but at the same time, fun is higher on the priority list than, the quote unquote making it stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if you know, you're making a living, you got a family, you know, you can do this on your own time and on the schedule that you make it, and nobody's telling you what to do. So you can be independent and, do it, you know, and just make it your passion and your love, and not be controlled by, you know, the financial aspect of it.
Absolutely. The scene's been great to us. KSW's been great to us. So we're just happy to be a part of it. And as long as we can keep playing and people keep coming to shows, we're going to keep doing it.
Awesome, Jake. Well, let me go a little bit in the time machine here, if you don't mind. I would love to ask you some questions about some early inspirations and whatnot. Is that cool?
Absolutely.
Jake, let me ask you this one. Going back to when you were a kid, and I'm not talking about like something that was given to you, something that was your own money. What was the first album that you purchased with your own money, whether it was cassette, CD, record, and, you know, what was it, even if it's embarrassing?
Led Zeppelin 2 on cassette.
Nice. Okay.
I walked to the mall and I bought it. I think the first one, my own money, I think I was like 12 years old and I was allowed to walk up and buy it.
So how were you exposed to Led Zeppelin?
My dad, it was either Zeppelin or Elvis with him.
Oh,
so
cool.
He turned me on to Zeppelin and I really got into it, and he had some records, and mm-hmm. you know, lugging a record player around was a little tough. So I went cassettes, and I was young enough that was still a thing. So I guess I should say I'm old enough now. I was young enough then.
Yeah.
and walked up and bought it and played the hell out of it until I literally wore it out, and went from there. But that was my first purchase with my own money.
Okay. Well, going from there, was it Zeppelin that encouraged you to learn guitar and start being a musician, or had you been learning from before that time?
Funny enough, I started as a drummer, and I started because of Zeppelin,
That's awesome.
Of John Bonham.
Yeah.
So I played drums in most of the bands I was in through high school, all through into my early adulthood and everything else, and got into the studio and did some things where I recorded a little bit of stuff, you know, here and there, but really didn't get into guitar much until Six Gun, and now I've been kind of a front man, and singing and playing guitar has been a newer thing. Than earlier, I guess, playing. But yeah, Zeppelin was the first thing that really got me into it. And then growing up in California, it's like I had the luxury that every band ever came through. So I got to see anybody I ever wanted to see, and I got to see some of the best.
Yeah, let's expand on that. What are some mind-blowing concerts from that time period?
Rage Against the Machine with Wu-Tang Clan Staples Center.
I mean,
those kind of things. I mean, I followed Beastie Boys on tour for like 5 days from San Jose to San Diego kind of stuff.
Sick.
I mean, just every band you could think of, mm-hmm. you know, we were on stage with NOFX at a couple stops. I mean,
amazing.
It kind of comes with being there. And so that was another big reason why in 2004, mm-hmm. 5, when Six Gun got started, we started, and there was this kind of wave of this rockabilly resurgence, and mm-hmm. we didn't really want to be with the 6-foot-high pompadours and the huge double bass. We might play a double bass at some point, but
yeah.
we didn't want to be pigeonholed into that, and it's nothing against those bands, but there's bands like the Horror Pops and the Necromantics and those bands that are almost cartoon characters of a visual mm-hmm. show. It's almost like Kiss, but psychobilly, you know what I mean?
It's kind of gimmicky.
Yeah, very much so. And we didn't want to be that, but we also didn't want to be, you know, a fill in the blank, I guess. So
sure.
we tried to take the best of everything. And Social D obviously is a huge influence because I came up there and got to see them a million times too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, so's the Cramps and so's, you know, the Clash and,
yeah.
you know, all that stuff that I had to kind of find on my own. So.
Interesting. So what got you, what was your foray into like punk rock and that stuff? Because you said you grew up on Social D and the Cramps and stuff, going from Led Zeppelin, and what made you turn that corner into the more like punk side of things?
Southern California in the 90s.
Okay.
I mean, skate punk was huge. Pennywise, Bad Religion, NOFX, Guttermouth. I mean, less than, it just goes on and on and on. Blink-182 before they were how they are now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of these bands were cutting their teeth, and not to say NOFX, they'd already been around 15 years, but a lot of these other bands were really coming up. And mm-hmm. again, NOFX would come through because there were, you know, this is when Warped Tour was a thing, and all these shows would come through. So I got into kind of skate punk that way and 3-chord fast songs. And then the older I got and started really, I don't want to say studying music, because I have zero education in it other than just headphones and radio stations. But I always really tried to look at where stuff came from. I've always looked at music as like a big family tree, and I've always tried to follow where did those guys playing punk rock get their stuff from?
Because
in the early 80s, you know, they're all 18, 20. So they were all born in like the early 60s. So who were their parents? You know, what they listened to? And you follow that stuff back, and it's like, especially that punk stuff and really into Social D and those kind of bands, is like, it's all just roots based Americana type music that's kind of coming back now in a weird way with Sturgill Simpson and some mm-hmm. of the other people. But
mm-hmm.
it's just real music that you can dress it up and you can arrange it different ways, but it's just music that is timeless. And if you play it genuinely, it translates to people, and you can, you can write four or five albums of songs that all sound similar, but they're I mean, look at what Social D did. I mean, they've
had a
40-year career. So
that's true.
If you're genuine and you write good music, I think the people follow you. So
that's awesome, man. That's a good, outlook, and very much like a good approach to it, and just working hard, and you know, you don't have to have a gimmick. You don't have to have like an image. You can just be true and honest to yourself. And I can certainly tell from the album that's the case for you guys. I'm curious about something, because I've been asking some people this about their opinion, and something that they would pick out. Imagine, well, you don't even have to imagine. There's a lot of negativity out there with just like the you know, a lot of bad news. So if you're stuck in a negativity loop, you have a bad day, your head's stuck in the news or something like that, what's an album that you can put on personally that will just change your mood and will put a smile on your face?
Gosh, man, it depends on the day and the mood, obviously. I'm so finicky that way.
Sure.
But lately, Tyler Childers I've been listening to quite a bit lately, and Colter Wall, as far as, you know, stuff that's, I guess, more contemporary or current.
Mm-hmm.
Other than breaking out the old stuff that makes you feel like you're young again, but that's, you know, that depends on the day and the time, of course, but I'll break out NoFX records and Bad Religion records anytime.
But the first, you said Tyler Childers and Colter Wall, would be like kind of more country stuff?
A little bit, yeah. They're younger guys. They're a little more, I guess, country, yeah, but it's more in that vein of if you took their songs and you put them through an amp with distortion on them and you played them twice as fast, it could be a Six Gun song.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, it's not, I guess, yes, country if you, the way they're arranged and played right now, but absolutely.
Nice, dude. Well, I'll check those out, man, and I appreciate that. Just a couple more questions before we get into the song "Lonely Man" here, real quick. If you could, why don't you tell me four albums that made a direct positive impact on your life?
Okay, NoFX Ribbed.
Yeah.
Social Distortion. So Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell. Led Zeppelin 2.
Mm-hmm. That's the first one.
And I'm going to have to go Beastie Boys, Check Your Head.
Okay, right on, man. That seemed relatively easy for you to
It's hard to do four. I could probably do 40.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, man. If you had to pick a scar on your body, Jake, and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
I have a scar on my right palm. I used to be a stock boy at a place back in the Midwest. I did a work, some work back there for some summers.
Uh-huh.
I was a stock boy at a place. It was kind of like a Pier 1.
Okay.
And they had candle holders, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And the candle holders for really big pillar candles have like a nail in the base of the candle holder that holds a nail on it.
Okay.
And this is back in like 1996, 7. So I didn't wait around for the ladder in the stock room. I was climbing the shelf like a monkey.
Yeah.
Came down and I slipped. Put my hand out to catch myself, and I put it right where the candle holder was, and I got one of those nails between my knuckle, and I still have a scar on my palm.
Jesus Christ. That's gnarly.
I can't tell you about the other ones, but that's the one I can tell you about.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you, dude, and we're going to get into the song Lonely Man. Is there anything you'd like to say to Northwest audience or anyone listening right now who's stuck at home?
Man, stay safe. Support the scene as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
The musicians that love to play for you guys are itching to play for you guys as soon as we can. And long live rock and roll, man. Just, we love the support. Keep it up. And thanks to KISW for playing us.
Hell yeah, man. Here is Lonely Man by Six Gun. You can check them out and watch their video on YouTube. We'll be posting it on the KISW page. Jake Day, thanks a lot, man.
Outsiders like This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.